Praise the Lord.
Just as a Christian life, as we do what we are called to do, that's what Jesus said. As the Father sent me, so I send you. So we represent him. So wherever we go, we represent ourselves. And then Jesus is our king. And then we just introduce Jesus to the people. And then we live it out in our life. Who Jesus is, he's worthy. And we sing this song, the glory of God, the glory, glory, the word in Hebrew is a kabod. And you have to, gutter sound has come out. You have to, do that. Kabod. And then the Hebrew and the Greek is the doxa. Doxa means opinion. So the paradox is a conflicting opinion. Orthodox is a right opinion. So we got to have a right opinion about who Jesus is. The forgiveness you enjoy right now didn't come because God is love. That's a misunderstanding. God cannot just forgive our sins. God cannot just write off our sins because he is good, he is love. No. He's a just and holy God. The price had to be paid. And unless we look at the cross, we do not know the worth of our worship of our Lord Jesus. His worth. And our opinion has to be expressed. Right opinion about Jesus. And Hebrew kabod is worth. It's weight. So we have to also recognize it and praise God. You are worthy of my worship. As we behold his glory, we get this, receive this the life. God doesn't ask us to worship him or this because he needs kind of flattering words or pat in his back or things. No, it's not like that. And that this is our way we live. When you only face to behold the glory of God, his life flows into us. And then we receive strength and they live life as this supernatural life we can live only with God's power. Amen? So today the scripture I want us to reflect is the renewing of mind. And it comes from the book of Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. I've been going through a book of Romans at the staff worship in Over the Rhine. And then God taught me many things. And it was an amazing, amazing book. So let's see that. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. Shall we bow our heads one more time? Oh, Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning. And then come, and Holy Spirit, open our understanding, Lord, and then speak to us, Lord. Give us an understanding. And then nourish us, Lord, strengthen us. So may we grow stronger, Lord, every day. And then understand the depth of your heart, Lord. So then speak to us, Lord. I need you. I need your unction, Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Apostle Paul is talking about, you are all familiar with this book of Romans, the human depravity, these conditions, and the union with Christ, all these doctrinal truth he presents. And then even he bring out this, Adam, our ancestor, sinned. We sinned, that's what he said. In Adam we sinned. And then his sin was imputed to us. So, when Jesus, his son, the second Adam, he gave his life, we His righteousness was imputed to us, so that all of us are the beneficiary of this awesome, awesome provision God had made. So therefore, so now the Romans 12, and then in between 9, 10, 11, we don't read much, but that's about Israel. What about the people of Israel, the Jewish people? Did God fail? That's what Apostle Paul is saying. Did God fail? Because when you look at this Israel or these nations, they do not seem to appreciate. They do not seem to even recognize their God. They are just going about their own ways. And then what about the promise to Abraham, all this? That did God fail? And then Apostle Paul brings out that no, it's not. And then who can know the mind of God? And then he brings out the truth. So this therefore contains those two. Because God is like that, and we are like this. So this is what we ought to do. This, the spiritual act of worship is actually, my King James Version is more correct. It's your reasonable service. It's a logical thing to do. That's what it is. We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. So let's look at what happened to us. So Romans 8:28 through 30, this is kind of the summary of the doctrinal truth about ourselves and what God did. And as we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So the Apostle Paul is bringing all these things of what happened in the redemption history, what God did. And then the first thing we catch our eyes is that God did know us before the foundation of the world. He foreknew you and I. And I don't know, the Pastor Peter knows the how you came to this world is you've gone through the tremendous competition. Out of, I don't know how many million, one made it, and it was you. That's how God arranged such that. But God foreknew you and me. God knew already. And then he had a purpose already, what he was going to do. Through his Son, he want to make us like his Son, Jesus. So God already knew what he was going to do. So this is an amazing thing. So that God already, God created us in God's image, and that image was marred, and God already knew what to do. Through his Son, he's going to restore this image of his Son. So that's what he's doing in our lives. So when you have difficult times in your life, if you're a child of God, if you are not a child of God yet, then that's a different matter. You have to come to this understanding, and then offer, surrender your heart. But if you are not. So in Over the Rhine, when we walk down the streets, we ask people, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven or hell? It's a simple question. Some those intellectual people, they feel it's offensive, kind of so blunt, such a question. Who are you to ask me whether I go to heaven or hell? But it is a very relevant, important question. Without this assurance in our hearts, who I am, everything's on the shaky ground. So this assurance salvation is such an important thing. So I want you to have this. Especially when you go back to your old sins, repeatedly, same sin, you fall in the same area. I don't know, am I the only one going to fall? Are you guys okay? You don't go back to the same sin over and over again? Say yes. That's who we are. So we have to understand this. Without this understanding, sometimes you wonder, am I a Christian? Am I a child of God? You wonder, actually. So we got to clear this thing in our mind. So the today lesson is very important. Renewing your mind is a very important thing. That one you have to do every day. You have to renew your mind. So your computer, mind works like a computer. You need to reboot the system. Click the trash can. And then restart afresh. Every day, that's what you want to do. And look this hour, what our Heavenly Father did, that he might be the firstborn among the many brethren. So he's making a new race. So they over the line, this is such an encouraging message. Those people who are rejected by the society, they are kind of neglected and then ignored. Yet, Jesus is making a new race. It doesn't matter who your ethnic background was. Jesus is making a new race, and we belong to him. And we are the same race. That's what God's plan. So that Jesus is our firstborn, first, second Adam. And he is the head of this new race. He's forming it. And then we are the workers to bring this kingdom of God, to expand the kingdom of God one soul at a time. So you have a work to do. We have a work to do. That is a mindset we ought to have when you look at the people. Moreover, verse 30, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So we come to the presence of God and then Christ because God called us. How does he call? The Holy Spirit, he woos us, bring us inside our heart. This tug, I don't know. How did you come to Christ? And if you haven't come to Christ yet, then now that God is tugging you, Holy Spirit is like, come on, he's tugging you. So bring us to his presence so that we can behold his glory and see that his worth and his the weight. And we have a right opinion about what God has done in Christ Jesus. So God called, and whom he called, them he also justified. That's a very important word, justified. So God just called us, and then when we responded to that call, and then God justified us. So we have this union with Christ. It's not like a merge or two things. No, we become one with Jesus Christ. So when Heavenly Father sees you, he sees you as you never sinned. Even if you sin, and then when you walk, get up and then turn back to God, the Father, and then he sees you as if you never sinned. That is our Heavenly Father's heart. He justified already because you are in Christ Jesus. If you are outside Jesus Christ, you are under this the wrath of God. But in Jesus Christ, you are justified. Not only that, this justification implies all the things, only one person on earth lived a perfect life. He obeyed all 10 commandments, all this. All the rest failed. Only one person, he's Jesus. So he lived on this earth as me. That's how we understand the justification. So all that Jesus accomplished is yours and ours. That's inheritance we have. So that's a justified means. So this is a tremendous the liberating truth, the justification, because you are in Jesus. So when you fall, we're going to deal with more of that because I'm an expert sinner. Yeah. Because as you get older, you know how to sin better, actually. You know that? As you get older. And over the line, sin is visible. You know, you can see this is a sin that nobody denies. I'm a sinner. But the person like me, you know, I hide it so well. So people wouldn't know, but only God knows. And as I sin, whenever I sin, if I don't turn away from it, of course, my heart runs away from him, and then my heart is divided because when I sin, the reason why I sin is because I want to please myself. I want to feed my old habits. whatever my body craves for, I want to satisfy that one. So my heart is divided. So all the blessing and the God's power given to me has a, this leaky container. My heart is divided. It leaks through. That's why we need to turn away and to God and then receive healing of our heart. We need to. Otherwise, this power you cannot contain in yourself. It leaks through. Maybe sometimes some of you may have experienced when you go retreat and then fully energized. And what happened after a few hours later, or maybe it lasts a month, some of you, because you have a very small leak. Some of you have just a leak right through. But we all understand this. We need to know where it's coming from and where it is a source of this problem. And then we ask God to work in our hearts. So this truth is so important. He called, he justified, and they, whom he justified, them he also glorified. Notice this is past tense, glorified. So in our Heavenly Father's eyes, when he looked at you and I, in Jesus Christ, it's already done deal. He justified and he already glorified. Glorified means your all of the sinful desire nature has been sucked out of you. So you are free, truly free. You can truly worship the Lord with all your heart and all your mind. Because this all the sinful nature has been sucked out of you. That's glorified. But our Heavenly Father says he already done that. So it is a matter of time. He's working in your life and he's getting there. Don't worry. When you fall, stumble, make sure you just get up and then right back to God. Each time. Then he will see to it. That's what God says. So he glorified you already. So the last July school, we had a speaker, Dan Bauman. He's the man was in captivity in the Iran for 6 months or something, all this. And then he shared the one illustration. He went to his cousin's house, and then his cousin had a nephew, I guess, 1-year-old a child, just like the Jonah. And he just one day, while they were get together around the Thanksgiving, so eat dinner, and then the baby start to get up and hold on to this the table, and then try to walk, and he fell. So to him, the baby fell right away. But to the father, he grabbed his son and then showed everybody, did you see? My son walked. He walked. Just having the desire to walk, already a father knows, because he knows he's going to run one day. So my son walked. That's how our Heavenly Father sees you and I. Just coming to this, have desire, oh, I want to be like Jesus, Lord. You already are like Jesus, his son. In our Heavenly Father's eyes. But we got to work to do on our part because we don't want to receive this grace in vain. So we're going to continue our journey. So this is who we are. Who we are. In Jesus, you are one with Jesus. It's a union. So over the Rhine, I don't get to officiate weddings because nobody gets married. But when the people marry, I have already sermon prepared for the marriage sermon I have, but haven't been able to use it. Bottom line is, this marriage is not about you. It's about gospel. Justin, did you hear? This marriage is not about you and Anna. It is about Jesus and his church. And then Jesus and his church are not ashamed. They are all naked, but unashamed. And then as a couple live together, they are to reflect what the gospel is about. Who Jesus is, you have to reflect to the world. So it is a serious undertaking. But that God's grace is more than enough. So that God is going to enable you to live. And they represent his gospel in the world. So this is a serious thing, right? And then they are our God. And the people wondered at that time. And then Apostle Paul, actually, he was wondering, what about this, the people in the Old Testament? What happened to them? You know, did God fail? Didn't God start all this? But everything is for our examples, the Bible says, and that this happened to them. But God is not done with them. That's what God says. One day they will come to Christ Jesus, and they look at the nail in marks in his hands, and then they will understand. So we spent some time in Israel, 1996 and 1997, and when you share the gospel to Jews, we don't even have to really preach gospel. That's what I found is interesting. Just have them read a book of Isaiah, and when they come down to Isaiah chapter 53, then many realize, this was our Messiah, just right there. And then their heart gets transformed, and then they become the lover of Jesus, Hamashiach, Yeshua Hamashiach. So this the book of Isaiah, the chapter 53, you know how it goes. Isaiah, those who come to Over the Run, you remember Isaiah 53:6. We all like a sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him iniquity of us all. And then we don't memorize it in school, but the Isaiah 53:6-5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. Then Isaiah saw the far away, 700 years far away before Jesus came. He saw this Messiah. And not only that, and then as he did prophesied what happened, and then he described what he saw. This Messiah is a suffering servant coming, and then suffering. And then he goes on, and then he saw also the glorious restoration all days through Jesus for whole humanity, including Jews and Gentiles. So that the Apostle Paul, he finally understood, so that this is the last part of chapter 11. The depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? For who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Because our God is like this, so therefore it is a logical thing to offer your body, your physical body, yes, your body, as a living sacrifice. So that's what we are called to do. This is what part you need to do. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. But if you understand a little bit more, this offering is a once and for all thing. Once you do, then that's it. And then what do we do afterwards? We renew our minds every day. Every moment we need to renew our minds. Because we are so used to the old way of life. So we got to renew our minds all the time. So this body is, why body is so important? Because our obedience to God is eventually expressed in your body, through your body. Amen. No matter how much good thought you have, and then amazing thoughts for the kingdom of God, your body does not respond to it, then it's not there yet. Your body has to reflect your desires. And what is in your heart, your body has to show. So therefore, we need to offer this body as a living sacrifice. Because God knows, if you use your body, if you leave everything to yourself, and then God knows we are going to abuse it or misuse it. That's who we are. If we use our body the way our maximum pleasure principle operates, then of course we're going to do that. Do you agree? My congregation is an African-American congregation. If I say somebody say amen, then they say amen, and then they get excited. Aren't you get excited? But what I want to see is brothers and sisters dance while they're worshiping, but we haven't gone to that level yet. You think African-Americans are naturally born to dance, right? That they dance? Not really. They are so oppressed that they cannot express themselves. So one day, this is my prayer, one day God will set them free, truly free, so that they can dance and worship. How about you guys? Have you been set free? Jesus said, when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Free people, they express freely their feelings, all this. Don't be too reserved about this. You can say, God, I love you. I messed up today, Lord, but I love you. I run to you. Let's enjoy this freedom that the Son has given to us. So we offer this body as a living sacrifice and holy and pleasing to God. This is a logical thing to do. This is a logical thing. And do not conform, then we go with this part. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. This pattern is the schemes of this world. This world has a different view of life. They are injecting this thought everywhere. Hollywood is the center of it to me. They bring all these things. So bottom line is, go for the maximum pleasure for your body. That's what they are promoting. So do not be conformed to that. It is not that easy. That's why we need this power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to tell you one secret in how to fight this fight. We are going to fall, but we need to understand this. So I'm going to tell you this secret. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you need to be transformed, but the starting point is from your mind. Mind runs like a computer, like your brain has a memory, all this, and then that runs like a computer. And I don't know how many of you like to daydream. Do you daydream? Just nod your head, daydream. Did you notice when you daydream, you are the God of your world, your imaginary world? Everybody serves you. Do you agree? Everybody worships you. Everybody's there to please you in your dream. You are the king in your world. Yeah, this thought is such an important thing. So when the computer runs, our thoughts runs like a computer program. You know? Once it runs, it's going to run its course. It has a track. If you've gone through that path many times, you have a well-developed train of thoughts that lead to somewhere. And at the end, your will has to come out in your mind. Yes or no? Yes or no, you have to say. So after running all the programs, but the human mind is much more than computers, so it can also combine two programs, three programs together too. Sometimes they bring out our old past memories, and then this unforgiveness, bitterness come out of our heart too. This one. I don't want to forgive because at the time, we read yesterday, James, right? You fight because you didn't get what you want. And sometimes you got what you don't want. So you get bitter. And then you want to get even with this thing for your pleasure. Maximum pleasure. We also are bringing this principle. Mind is just such an incredible machine. You know, brings that thing. And then, yeah, go for it. So that's why we don't forgive. Because I still want that. I still don't want that for my pleasure. That's how our mind works. So we got to be aware of this mind. So we got to develop new patterns of thoughts. If you haven't been, I don't know, are you, some, how many, I don't know how many of you are new Christian, young Christian. Yeah. Then you don't have this new pattern yet formed. It's God is forming in you. But your motive is genuine. You want to love God. You want to live as his child. And then you want to live according to his plan for your life. I want to have this life. But when you don't know this Bible or Word of God enough, then we don't know how to develop this. So that's why we got to study this Word of God. And then put it in your heart. So that you have this develop this new thought pattern in your mind. Otherwise, you're gonna go to a sidetrack all the time. So when you go sidetrack, run wild, that doesn't mean you are sinning. By the way, yeah, I want you to know, when you have this some lustful thought, you are not sinning yet. But the Holy Ghost tell you, hey, you are running the course. Then. It's up to you. If you continue, you are sinning. And if you stop right there, then you are not sinning yet. Turn away. So how do I do? Because sometimes it comes from yourself. This kind of thought comes in you. And then something triggers when you see. That's why the eye is so important. When you see something, this eye fits your mind and your heart. So what you see is very important. So this a lustful thought arises because as a result of seeing something you shouldn't have seen, then it rises in you. Then we need to stop it. So you can call yourself, what are you doing if it comes from you? But sometimes if you do that, then if it is from you, it go away in Jesus' name. You remind yourself. But sometimes it comes right back. Then you know you are dealing with the devil. Devil is working, playing with you. So this thought comes back to you. Then you have to fight in Jesus' name. You have to rebuke. And because for it, how did Jesus fight? Jesus always said that, get away, Satan, from me. For it is written. And he used a scripture. So that's why we got to know the Word of God. So that we fight the devil with this Word of God. And how do we fight the other people with the Word of God? Or how do you fight when you deal with it? Because we belong to this body and in this world. Then you are to represent who Jesus is. But we fight with love. We fight with love. So all these things you have to always remind yourself. It doesn't come naturally because it's not part of you 100% yet. So you have to always renew your mind. Renew your mind. Even though my desire, myself, doesn't want it, but because the Word of God says, I will do it. And then that is the obedience, beginning of obedience in our life. Because the Word of God says, yeah, I want to do it. I forgive because God said forgive. God said, don't go there, then I don't go there. Because, but then in order to do that, we need a strength. So renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. He is good, pleasing, and perfect will. But don't you want, I heard some many people ask me, how do I know what God's will is? Have you wondered this? I want to know God's will for my life. Because we all have this desire to please God. That's our desire. We want to please God. So I want to know what God's will for my life is. And then the Romans, he brings out this, what God's will is for us. So we start from there. And the first part is we didn't have the, I don't have the transparency for that, but Romans chapter verse 3, 12 verses 3 and so on is what God had done. God brought us together as a body. We are members of a body now. Before, this individuality was my thing. You know? And then I don't want people mess with me. I do what I like to do. That's who we were, who we were. And now once you come to Jesus Christ, you belong to this body. It is annoying sometimes. It is burdensome sometimes, you feel. Because now I cannot do what I want to do because of my brother so-and-so all this. We have to, we belong to this new organism we belong to. That's our Heavenly Father's will. All the children become this part of this body of Jesus Christ. So we are members. Do you agree? So you all are part of one body. So if one hurts, that the other one hurts. That's what Apostle Paul meant. Because we are all connected. We are. So this body, this is a new thing. Unless you renew your mind, and they realize, and then make it until it becomes your second nature. That's what we need to try. So this part, you have to do it. Your spiritual life, you want to live, there's certain things that you need to do. This one, you have to do it. Renew your mind. And then you have to make up your mind. That's what you have to do. God doesn't force you to do it, but we need to do. And then before I do anything, I think about others, what my thing we're going to affect others. Some of you may say, hey, I sin just for myself, you know, just when I'm alone. Then what's that got to do with the other body? But when you are pleasing yourself, satisfying your whatever the desire you had, then actually it hurts because it's idol worship. Because you are doing it because you are sitting at the God's throne in your heart. So that's why you are doing it. And then you please yourself, and then what you do? You get divided the heart so that you love less. You love God less. So it affects other people. We get grumpy and we get irritated. All these things shows up. Because what is in your heart comes out of your mouth and your actions. So we are not a single individual anymore. Are you glad you are not a single individual anymore? You are all connected? Because that's how our Lord Jesus see us and brought us together. So in San Diego, God formed this body. And this body is a living organism. It's going to grow and multiply. All these things, your cell biology knowledge, taught you, this is going to take place in the spiritual realm. And the physical realm, God's kingdom expands. And then we had before you come to Jesus. Yesterday we saw when our first Adam fell. You and I were the center of your own life, your universe. You are the center, and you decide good or evil by relating to yourself. That's who we were. And now you have a new nature. God has put this new nature in you. So you do have this pure and holy desire in your life. So this two nature is present now. So that is a source of our conflict. So the book of James says, where is the war and the fights, all this, because you don't get what you want, all this. And then now we have an additional component of this warfare. Fighting within ourselves. Because I have two desires in my heart. One is a good desire, the other one is an evil desire. As a children of God, you have two choices. Actually, after all this, come down to two choices. You will have to decide. One is, am I going to please God by saying yes? Or am I going to please myself by saying yes? Yes or no? So our life is very simple. But you got to renew your mind every day. Otherwise, you lose your vision and the strength. So that's why you got to read the Word of God. That's how you renew your mind. When you read Word afresh every morning, sets a tone in your mind. And then your calling is renewed. And then your mind and then is renewed. And then you start these thoughts of pure and holy, whatever is pleasing to God. We want to think that thought in our mind. So when we have this the evil desire, sometimes it wins. Evil desire wins. How many of you know that? Your evil desire wins. And then you get momentary satisfaction. And then what happened? After that, it's a guilt comes in. Regret, guilt comes in. If that doesn't come back to you, come in, that doesn't come in, you have to think about, am I really a child of God? That comes in. I shouldn't have done it. Like that. And then what you do? Again, the maximum pleasure principle runs. I want to get rid of this guilt as quickly as possible. So some people go the other way to get rid of this. Forget about this guilt. You do something else. Or this. Some people, they come to the right place. There is where repentance takes place. So repentance is not a really big word. It's a metanoia. The renewing of your mind is a repentance. A same word, metanoia. Change your mind. Change your mind. Renew your mind. So when you fall, because I can tell you, because I fell many times, and I know I cannot guarantee, but I'm going to fall at some point. Then what you do when you fall? I don't know what kind of commitment you make to God. And then I made many, many, many commitments, promises to God, and I broke them all. But our God is not looking at how many times you broke broke your promises, the commitment. God doesn't look at that. The love doesn't count wrong. That's what the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says. But God sees whether you get up and then come back to Him. That is the important part. Just like a child falls, fumbles, falter and then fall. And then child doesn't come, get up and then sit down and then in misery cries and then I'm done, I'm hopeless. Then they break father's and mother's heart. But when child get up and they determined to walk again, and that's the point a child receives encouragement, strength. Come on, go on, you can do it. So for us, whenever you fight in your heart, you receive strength from the Holy Spirit. I want you to know. So you have this sinful desire come into your heart, and then you fight that, and then you get stronger each time you fight. And then this power God gives you remains with you. And then when you fall next time, because our hearts are broken, divided, so that it leaks through. But whenever you fall and then get up, and then until you fall again, that you grow to be like Jesus. So that's the secret of this Christian walk. You need to fight in this way. But quickly get up and then run to Jesus. So the book of James chapter 4, we didn't read it. Go to verse 5. Then there's my King James Version says that the spirit who dwells in you lusteth to envy. Intensely he envies us. So the Holy Spirit helps us to fight this fight. And why Holy Spirit lusts in your heart? Because Holy Spirit's mission, only mission is to glorify Jesus. And He dwells in you to glorify Jesus. And now when your heart is taken away from that, and then you start to please yourself, of course the Holy Spirit is jealous. That's envious, because your heart is moving away from Jesus. So that Holy Spirit is not only groans when you don't know how to pray, but he is envious, intensely envious, NIV translates like that. But I like the King James better. Lusteth to envy. So we have this grace when we humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. Acknowledge. Agree. Confess your sins. First John, the word confess means agree with the word of God. When God speaks to you, agree with him. When someone is taking you that's what Jesus said, when your adversary takes you to the judge, make sure you settle before you go to judge. Otherwise, you're going to pay the last farthing. That adversary is the Holy Ghost. You know that? Sometimes the Holy Spirit is your adversary. He groans. He envies intensely in your heart because your heart is moving away from Jesus. That's a grace of God. May the Holy Spirit envy in your heart today. The rest of your life, envy. Whenever you go away from it to satisfy, bring pleasure to yourself, may the Holy Ghost envy intensely in your heart. So that we turn away. And then they repent. This is metanoia, change your mind. But the another term I really like is Thomas Brooks, a Puritan preacher who lived 500 years ago. He said the repentance is the vomit of the soul. When you eat wrong kind of food, you throw up. You throw up. And then would you go back to the same restaurant again? No, you don't. So we want to dissociate this pleasure we had with the world. That's what we need to do. We are not dissociate ourselves from these past pleasures for myself. And I want to replace it with this new joy coming from Jesus. But you got to experience it. How do you experience it? When you fight, you experience this. When you fight. So if you don't fight, then forget about it for now. You have to have a desire to fight. Is this fight in your heart right now? Somebody say amen. Why all the rest of you don't answer yes or no? You don't have a fight in your heart? Is there frustration in your heart? I want to be like Jesus, but I'm far away. I'm frustrated in my heart. Do you have this frustration in your heart? Somebody say amen. That's the sign of indication that you are a child of God. If you don't have this frustration, then you have to think about it again. Maybe. But this frustration is a healthy sign. That's a proof that you are a child of God. And it's a proof that the Holy Ghost in you, who dwells in you, it groans and he lusteth to envy. So may God work in your heart today and the rest of your life until you truly the Jesus Christ likeness is formed in you. Work in your heart. Amen. So now that when you go out to the world, now that we have to look at this way. We don't judge others. That is an important part of the Jesus' likeness. Jesus never condemned the people when he walked the streets. He never condemned or judged the people. You know that the incident, they brought this adulterous woman. And Jesus said, I'm not going to condemn you. So Jesus never done that. So we need to see people that way. So we need to see people, they have only one desire. So what can you do? They don't have this new desire in their heart yet. That's why they are doing what they are doing. Then maybe some of you may say that we are justified, some of us I've seen a person like that before. Then I can sin, you know, I can do whatever I want to do, and then I can repent. I'm justified in Christ Jesus. Some people, that's what we call abusing the grace of God. That's what we call. And the first of all, for that person, is one of you, then you have to think about whether truly you are a child of God, born again. That's what you have to think about it. And then evaluate, am I truly a child of God? Second is, there are consequences when you, because you are a child of God, God disciplines you. And some people even suffer the consequences, even though they are forgiven all this, but they do have this consequence, like a physical, some damaged body parts, or things like that, they do have. But our Heavenly Father's love will never away from you because you are in Jesus Christ. So our Heavenly Father has a favoritism. He loves His Son more than anything else. And you and I are in Him, so we receive that love. That's how Heavenly Father sees you. And then He wants you to grow to be like Jesus. So He's doing everything He can to make you more like Jesus. So when something goes wrong in your heart, then what has to come out of your mouth? Thanksgiving. Because He is working in your life. His hand is in your life. That requires a renewing of your mind. You have to renew your mind. Think through. So whatever comes your way, you need to be thankful for, because that's the sovereign Heavenly Father is doing it. So the Romans, so all things are for good for those who love it. All things include not only the good things, but also bad things. Everything. So may we continue to be strengthened, and then through the renewing of your mind, this God's business become your part of your second nature, and then may you continue to grow. So that you can see the world, then know where all these problems are coming from, and then you can minister to others. That's what you need to do. When you see people, we don't judge. Because they are running under one nature, the Adam, first Adam's nature. They are basically fulfilling this mind's, the heart's desire. But when God put these new desires in that person, then you see, just like as our Heavenly Father saw, He's justified and glorified, so that we minister that way. So yeah, let's take a few minutes and then pray. Yeah, may the Holy Spirit to envy in your heart. They show you to see many times, our hearts are divided. Sometimes there's no clear distinction. While I'm serving God, my heart is divided too, because I want approval from someone else. If other people don't appreciate when I serve God even, I get disappointed. This divided heart works in all dimensions of our life. So we need to renew our mind, see clearly. If you have eaten something evil, just throw up. And don't go back again. Ask God to, help me to hate my sin. As you fight this fight in your heart, God will strengthen you, and then He will empower you. That empowerment remains with you, and you can continue to grow. But if you fall again, don't be surprised, but get up.